Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
For tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Now, truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I've on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
Amen. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, how you doing, sir?
We're doing well.
Amen. It's good to be on the line one more time where we can study the Word of God. So we're going to get right into it with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you again, God, for allowing us to be able to come together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, tonight, Dr. G, we're back in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew. And on last week, we left out on one of the seven woes. This section of the Bible talks about the seven woes to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. From verse 13 all the way down to verse 39. It's about the woes and woes that Jesus is teaching those who are false teachers, those who are participating in looking one way and doing another way, or being one way and saying they're one way and looking another way, and talking about hypocrisy and how it is not good to say you're one thing and be something else. I kind of laugh that there's nothing new under the sun, but it seems like even in today's society, Sheila G., we still have that same problem with our religious leaders and political leaders and just leaders in general, where they say one thing and do something else, Sheila G.
Amen. Especially in recent weeks and modern times, in both the religious leaders as well as in politics in particular, it's depending on they say and do whatever suits their own personal desires or their own personal needs and their personal wants versus just standing straight on the truth.
Right. And Dr. G, we left off at verse 12. We're talking about humbling, you know, being humble, and how if you go back to that verse 11, it says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And verse 12, it says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And so the biggest way to prevent becoming a hypocrite is to humble yourself and be a servant and be the person that God wants you to be, and not trying to exalt and puff yourself up to be more than you ought to be. And one of the ways to do that, Dr. G, is to practice humility. Dr. G?
You're right, but we are living in a society and we are people that don't comprehend that. You know, it's all about us, and we'll do whatever we have to do to pump ourselves up or put ourselves up. Humility is a dirty word. When you think for people today.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at that verse 13, it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Jesus is coming out and putting on blast. It's just for, and these seven woes are rough. I mean, it's when we get through them, we'll be like, wow, he was just brutal, because he saw right through them. And one of the biggest things about a hypocrite is you lead people astray. And
that's right.
You see people that put their trust in people that are leaders. And those leaders lead them astray. And so that's not pleasing in the sight of God. So in that verse 13, it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." So it's like, you know, you don't want to go in yourself, and then you prevent those who are trying to get in. And if we read that in the NIV, it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." And that was one of the things that struck me on last week, is that not only are you messing up for yourself, but you're messing up for other people. And that's just not right. You know, if you want to, you know, skateboard to hell, you know, that's your choice, but don't drag other folks with you. And a lot of times we say that you know, nobody wants, we're like crabs in a pot, nobody wants anyone to get out and do anything better, and you want to just, you know, stick with birds of a feather that flock together to prevent people from getting ahead or having the right relationship with God. And that's just mean, Sheila G. And people who proclaim to be God and people be godly ought not to be so mean. One minute they're nice, and then one minute they're mean. And that's just mean to say, I'm not going, and you ain't going either, Sheila
right.
G.
Amen. And it all kind of points back to what you were saying earlier about being a servant, because if you're a true servant, then you always will put other people before you, and you won't lead people astray. A lot of times just being a servant to someone can help lead someone to Christ. But not by not humbling yourself and not serving others and loving your neighbor, by default, you're misleading, you're not drawing them to Christ, so you may as well be leading them away from heaven. And we as people understand that you can't be a servant and be a hypocrite. And if you're a servant, then not only will you get into heaven, but you will lead others to heaven. But if you just consider yourself and think about your own self, like you said, not only are you hurting yourself, but you're missing the opportunity to show the love of God to someone else who then can also enter to the kingdom of heaven.
And then this second woe in verse 14, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." This is some rough stuff, Dr. G. I mean, it's like they're using their power to take advantage of people. And again, that's nothing new under the sun. We see that in our environment, in our churches, in our political environment. There's nothing new under the sun. People that are in position of power take advantage, and here they're taking advantage of widows and taking their houses and making long prayers and, you know, putting on a front, putting on airs. And it's just terrible for people who say they represent God to use that, Dr. G, to take advantage of people. And again, you've seen it down through the years, down through the centuries, down through the generations, where people that are in positions of godly leadership or people in a position of power or political power or whatever, they use that to prey on widows, on children, on people who are in less position of authority. And you know, they want to use the word to justify it. They want to go into these long dissertations or prayers or why it should be this way or why it shouldn't be this way. And in the end, Jesus says, "Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." Dr. G, you want to enlighten us on that?
Basically, they are going bust hell wide open because, as you've said, they are leading people astray. And that's why, you know, as preachers and pastors, we have to be careful, you know, what we preach, how we conduct ourselves, because people are looking up to us. And it's easy to get caught up with a preacher because, you know, the average person, not going to study, they don't know enough of the word. So they take what their pastor, what their preacher has to say as solid gold. And so we have to be careful where we're leading people and how we are conducting ourselves before them, because we're going to have to pay the bigger price.
But
at a time where a lot of people really don't care, because it's all about them.
Amen.
Yeah, and it just that last part of that sentence there, "Therefore you shall receive greater damnation." So as bad as you're making it for someone else, it's going to be worse for you. This is an eye-opening portion of Scripture. And if we go to the verse 15, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And he keeps saying that. You know, the first verse 13, hypocrite. Verse 14, hypocrites. Verse 15, hypocrites. He's making his point. It's like this is if you were in a courtroom and he's presenting his final closing remarks to the jury, you know, and he's driving the point home. He says in verse 15, "For you put sea and land to make one proselyte or one follower." And you look and do all you can to make one follower. And when you have made it, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. It's just bad. It's like you're trying to win one convert. I'm gonna read what it says in verse 15 in the NIV. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." So it's like you make them worse off, Sheila G, than you are. It's like a group of people who are corrupting someone else and to be worse off than you. It's a thing of people recruiting people to do the wrong things, and it almost becomes like a club or a clique or something. And people take it to the next level. If you were bad, you think that was bad, I'm going to take it to the next level. And all of this in the name of God, all of this in the name of someone that is supposed to represent God. And again, you see it too often in positions of leadership. And what happens is now these people think what they're doing is right. And they think what they're doing is right because you've corrupted their mind and you showed them what was wrong and how to do it, and so they take it to the next level, and they end up being worse off than you, and it's just sad, Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about a conversation I was having with someone, because like you said, it's not just leadership in the church or powers in politics, but we find that nowadays, too, in our family structure, where you have a mother and father or both, where one thing they're trying to teach and tell their child, but they're living a completely different way. And I remember Dad shared a story one time with me earlier this year, where there was a man that had his 3-year-old, 2-year-old son with him. It was a young man, and you know, he had his pants down to the back of his knees, and you know, thing. And Dad asked him the question, "What are you teaching your son?" And the man looked at him, and he it was almost like he pondered him, and he started a conversation with Dad. And I think that's what's happened. It starts with that family structure, is that hey, I'm going to tell my child, don't do this, stay away from this, but I'm smoking and drinking, getting high, and sleeping with everybody right in front of me. So how can you expect that child to learn anything different? But you're going to tell that child, don't do that, but you're doing it yourself. Right. And if we were to get our family structure, then we can get that foundation. So then by the time people do get into powers, a position of influence or powers, they will have that foundation within them. But I think part of that comes from us not having that church, in our that Christian upbringing like we used to back in the day.
I know that's right. And, you know, a lot of times that's Dr. G, can help me out. That's how these racism, homophobes, and all of these phobias that people have of religion and where people come from. And, you know, they don't look at people as human, but they look at them as the color of your skin, by the religion you practice or your sexual orientation. People just hate people because they're different, and a lot of that behavior is learned. We talk about this often in our Bible study. Behavior is learned. You know, just because you don't agree with someone's lifestyle, you don't agree with someone's religion, you don't agree with someone's the way they do things, doesn't mean you should hate them and want to kill them or persecute them, because the word clearly says all is sin that comes short of the glory of God. You don't have to condone what they do, their lifestyle or their religion, but you should live a life in front of them so that they can see the true God that you're serving, that has compassion on all men. But a lot of times we just spew out hate and all kind of ignorance toward people that are different to us, and what that does is that turns people off to the true and living God. Dr. G, can you help me out on that?
Well, you're right, and, you know, what we fail to realize is that, you know, kids are not stupid nowadays, and you can tell them one thing, but they're watching everything that we do, the way that we carry ourselves, what we say, how we say it, and, I mean, they pick up all of the bad stuff, the negative stuff, and, you know, and that, again, as Sheila Jr. said, it falls back on us, because we're not training them, we're not raising them up in the way that they should. So, you know, they pick up on all the bad stuff when they get up of age, and, you know, you're still seeing your mommy or your dad do this kind of stuff. That kind of hatred and bigotry comes easy. But on the other hand, if you're training your child in the way that the Lord says, that comes easy. Now, they may stray, but at least you've given that good foundation.
Amen.
And Sheila G., I'm a meddle a little bit tonight. there was this always this thing that I call it the male call right was to have his way with the female, and he can say and do whatever he wants.
Right.
And I'm a meddle because so many times, like you said, that is passed down. What are you teaching your sons? And what happens is when you teach it to your sons and they teach it to their sons, people think it's a passage or it's a rite or it's okay because granddaddy did it or great-granddaddy did it. And to say or treat females or women any kind of way, it becomes
right.
like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen so many males in my family or who I work with do it. And so
mm-hmm.
it becomes second nature, and there's really no feeling or understanding for the people that you're think this is your right to do it. And behavior is taught. And if someone would stand up and say, hey, you know, everyone has a right to be respected. I don't care where they come from or where they live, how they look, whether they're male or female. Everyone has the right to be respected, in that you can't just take advantage of someone just because you're a male. And
right.
I think a lot of that is happening today where people are starting to push back on that. They're starting
right.
to push back on that type of behavior. And Sheila G., I thank God for our bringing up what our father brought us up, that we didn't treat females that way, and we respected them, and we respected everyone. You were taught
That's
to respect
right.
them and not take advantage of people just because you could. And
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that has been lost or left out, and the people that do have the right character, I think because there's so many that don't, they become chicken or
mm-hmm.
scared to say something because of the persecution. But sometimes you have to stand up for what's right in spite of the persecution that you will get. And I think a lot of that is coming to play in today's society, in today's conversation, about people standing up to people in a position of authority who
mm-hmm.
are hypocrites or not doing the right thing, saying one thing and doing another. Sheila G., you want to chime in on that?
That's very, very true. And it's funny how different industries are catching up on that a lot later than other industries have. As you know, when I came out of college, I went directly into the corporate world. And
mm-hmm.
as an accountant, there were very few female accountants. But
mm-hmm.
Because of our upbringing, not only did you learn as how to be a man and how to respect the female, it taught me that as a female that I need to be respected as much as a man, and it gave me that strong self-esteem that
mm-hmm.
I could not put down or torn down that way. And when I first went into the corporate world, there were in business world, there were things where like there were innuendos and various versions
mm-hmm.
of kind of sexual harassment and things like that. But most of us women that got into that industry had to fight our way in there anyway. So
mm-hmm.
when we started pushing back, that's when all of a sudden you started having the sexual harassment training, respect in the workplace, all these various policies. And that was back in like the 90s. And here we are, 2017,
yeah.
and in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
politicians, now they're thinking about this, and you're looking at the private industry, and it's like you guys are way behind because women, we were able to stand up and push back, but every female has gone through it and been faced with it. But like you said, if you have that foundation, you have that confidence
right.
in yourself, and you have that confidence in the Lord that you can push back on it. But yes, it was really prevalent then, and that's when they had to start putting those policies and passing those laws. But it's here we are today, and
mm-hmm.
I'm looking from my perspective like, wait a minute, we dealt with that mess way
right.
back when, and you all are just now, and some still being ignorant about it. I mean, what I've seen this week is pure ignorance. I mean, some
mm-hmm.
of the things, when the guy was comparing it to a government official comparing it to Jesus, Mary and Joseph having Jesus, you know, like, back in the 80s and the 70s, and when we had the women's revolution and everything, that was that thought process back then.
Right.
So
right.
they never grew up, they never matured. And like you said, maybe because they were in that cocoon, but never grew. to understand that that's not right and it's not okay, and you can't, there's no way you can justify it, especially now since more females have been empowered to speak out.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. G, it's just a matter of time before this word, and that's why it's so important for us to study the word. This word will find you out.
Right.
And what's done in the dark will come to light. It's just a matter of time. And you know, people that are in position of power, it's just a matter of time where what they've done in the dark will come to light. Jesus, in this particular passage, he's just pointing it out, and he's just making it plain, and he's just saying it's hypocritical. It's like, you know, all of these recent uncovering of people, they were saying one thing in public, one thing, and doing something else privately.
Right.
You know, and it comes out, and they look like fools, and
yep.
You know, it just is something about the righteousness of God. It always will come and show the light to those things that are done in the dark. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a president. I don't care if you're a minister. I don't care if you're an average Joe or Jane on the street. The righteousness of God will show up, and it will shine light on that darkness. And he does it to allow people to see the light of God so that they can change their ways and come to be able to live a better life. But Dr. G, it seems like sometimes folks like to live in the dark and live in the shadows more than they like the light. Dr. G?
Well, you're right about that. And with that, too, throw in preachers and pastors. The religious,
that's what I say, ministers, right.
I mean, the way that we treat, the way that, you know, I've seen preachers, pastors, the way that they treat females within their congregations and the way they talk about them. You know, and all of that, and you're right. You know, that word will bring it all out, and it will cause you to really take a look at yourself. You know, with the Bible talks about examine self. Mm-hmm. You know, that ought to be a daily thing, anyhow. But
yeah.
You know, we go back, and when we go back to the beginning, you know, we forget that Adam and Eve were equal. It's just that Adam. The Lord placed Adam as the head, but he loved his wife and he respected her. It wasn't until sin came in, and from there all the way to where we are now.
That's
look
right.
At
that's
the
right.
Duck.
It's a hot mess.
It's a hot mess.
That's right, and that's what sin does. And what happens is people foolishly try to manipulate. The righteousness of God, and it doesn't work out for them. But each generation tries it, and that's what's so funny about growing up and getting older. You see the stuff that we tried that our kids are trying now, and you're like, well, hey buddy, hey sister, hey, I tried that, it didn't work. If it did work for me, it's not gonna work for you. But they'll try it anyway, and they have to see it, and it's just the truth is going to be true. That's one thing about the Word of God. The truth is not going to change. We can try to manipulate. We can try to go around it. We can try to bend it. We want it, but the truth is going to find you out. And so when you look at the verse 16, it says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And it's just crazy how they're going to swear by the gold instead of the temple that sanctifies the gold. And Jesus says in verse 17, ye fools, and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctify the gold. So in other words, the people put things so the priority on what is wrong for their own benefit more than what is intended for. If I read it in the NIV, it says, woe to you blind guides, you say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. In other words, they're putting the priority on material things instead of the things of God. And when you begin to start putting priority on material things instead of the God who provides the material thing, then you have this thing all the way upside down and back, but backwards. And people manipulate people in church and try to get them to focus on money, and it's all about money, and you got to bring the money to this person and bring it to this person and put money in this person and put it money. But nobody's talking about the things of God, the one who provides the money. No one's talking about God, the one who provides the material, that provides the very life that you have. And it's all about, you know, financial gain, and nothing about spiritual gain. And it's leading people to think that if they don't have huge finances, then they're not in the right relationship with God. Sheila G.
Amen. And not realizing that they're actually blocking God out. We have too many people that are wanting to please what they smell, see, hear, and touch, what they look at, they can understand, instead of putting God first and allowing, seeking God first, and then all the other things will be added unto them. And that truly is why our society is so destructive now, because the focus is so much on what looks good to man instead of what we need to do for God. And when we focus on, man is weak. Man is the weakest thing in the world, and Satan plays on the people pleasers and the ego pleasers. It's like so many egos. Even like you said, what we're talking about, the power thing, it's really at the end of the day about a person's ego. Mm-hmm. And that of not of God. So this gold versus worshiping God, worshiping cars, worshiping jobs, worshiping people, trying to put people down, you know, hurt things with people in leadership. You know, when you do things and you're not supposed to expect a thank you. But now we got people telling people, well, I did something for you, so tell me thank you. We weren't brought up that way.
Like Trump.
That's not godly. That God says do it. He says love me first, then love your neighbor. Boom. Then everything, those are the greatest commands. You're doing good. But no, we want to love ourselves. And then if we can fit a little bit of God in, that's cool. But then we want to please man, and then God is way down on the bottom of the totem pole. But, you know, our egos feel good, our person feels good, but that's only temporal. Because that feeling, that little fluffy feeling, whatever, is going to go away because it's not for real.
That's
right. It's like building a house on sand. And we build our house on temporal things and put our trust and our faith in temporal things instead of putting our faith in God and then just allowing those other things to come. And you know, we need to really start becoming ambassadors for Christ. And what I mean by that, whatever your will is, Lord, whatever your plan is, Lord, just lead God, direct my path. It doesn't have to make sense. Pleasing man is secondary to pleasing God.
Amen, amen, and well said. And he goes on to reiterate this point in verses 18 and 19. It says, whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. And he goes and calls them fools again in verse 19, you fools and blind, for whether it is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctified the gift. And you read that in verse in the NIV, it says, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? It's in verse 20, it says, therefore anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And in other words, we've got to put this thing in the Dr. G in the proper perspective that it's in all of our humanness and our flesh, we won't have the proper perspective of things if we don't understand it is God who provides everything. He is our source. And when people leave God out and get caught up in that's the enemy's trap, to get us caught up in the things and the riches and the power and the wealth of this world, which is nothing wrong with having wealth and riches and power. But the thing is, when you don't use it to glorify God, I'm going to say that again, is when you don't use it to glorify God. I'm going to say that one more time, is when you don't use it to glorify God and you begin to start thinking it's you, it begins to start thinking it's the people around you. And what happens is the giver, the Jehovah Jireh, the provider, begins to take a secondary seat, like you were saying, Sheila G. And what happens is we begin to start using the riches, the power, and the wealth for man instead of for God. And then that's when the Bible says the love of money, not the money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so that's when that love of that money, that power, that wealth begins to deviate from the plan of God. And Dr. Z, when you deviate from the plan of God, what happens is what we think begins to supersede what God thinks, and that's when we get in trouble with everything in our life. Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. I mean, the Bible teaches us seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But like you said, you know, we've got to put things in the proper perspective. Let me give you an example. Sunday, we were in, wasn't too crowded, a lot of folks didn't come out, but my sermon, I actually preached on hypocrites. And we had time, came out of church, didn't even notice, but Sheila got ready to get into my truck. And somebody had sideswiped my truck.
Wow.
And on about their business. Now, there was a time in my younger I would have been highly upset. Church or no church, preacher did not matter. But, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's material. You know, my only bad was, you know, if they're going to hit it, why didn't they just total it? Then that way I could have gotten a new one. But in my younger days, my thoughts, my mindset would not have been like that. I mean, I knew what we had to do. I knew it was going to put us out for one vehicle. But all in all, the same God that gave me this one, he'll provide another one if it's his will. That was a trick of the enemy to just come out of church, just had a high time, wanted to bring us back. But, you know, it all goes back. We have to put things in priority.
That's right.
Where your focus is, my focus wasn't on the material truck. My focus was on the God who gave it to me.
That's right.
And so
that's what
we have to realize.
Amen.
Amen. That's an awesome point. Awesome point. I could talk all night, but I don't want to take away from the those who might want to chime in on this. We just want to go to the phone lines and just a simple question tonight about godly perspective. Godly perspective and just what is your maturity level is a godly perspective as far as when it comes to challenges or things in your life. What way can we benefit from seeing these things in a godly perspective? So if you have a challenge in your life, how do we benefit from seeing things in a godly perspective or handling things in a godly perspective? So we're going to go to the phone lines. First caller we want to go to. Last four digits. If I can get my mouse together, last four digits. We want to go to 9772. 9772. You're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that of all the things I've come through the years that we had, then you must have respect for yourself. Out of all these other things that people, little ladies and whatnot, that's been going on and all for years, and they always trying to hustle up on their own self and not care respect for themselves. And then when the other hand get out of hand, now they done gone crazy. Now they want to catch up on the old days they were doing those things, and now they done got away with it. Now they want to hustle up on it now and be ashamed about it, but they were giving it away then and begging it for it, and now they done ran up on it, and now they want to be respected. But you got to carry respect for yourself and let the man know for yourself. Don't grin in his face and think you are so much in love with him, but don't carry respect for yourself. But you got to stay respect for yourself. And all I can tell you is that give you respect for yourself and make him respect you. That's all you can do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 8272. 8272, you're on the air. 8272. All right. 8272, you there? All right, we go to the next caller. Last digits, 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. I would say that this is Brother Brandon. I would definitely say that how I've handled things as a Christian, I've done it through trial and error. I got to the point where, you know, I've been in church my whole life, but I really didn't understand what God's expectation was of me, but I was always quick, and I think you guys say it sometimes, I was always quick to react and quick to be emotional and make decisions off emotion and anger and frustration and sadness and all these other negative emotions that kind of plague us daily. And I found myself in situations that were unfamiliar, unpleasant, alone, you know, just kind of digging myself in a deeper hole. So as I got closer to the Word of God, I started to realize that, you know what, you know, even when Jesus walked this earth, yeah, we see all of these stories and things that come on TV and all these verses where so many people, you know, flocked to him and followed him and heard him. But he also had naysayers. He also had people doubting him and speaking negative of him. But you notice that he never reacted in a negative way because, you know, he realized that, you know, people were watching him. He's trying to spread the gospel of God. And if he's a reflection of God, then he needs to conduct himself that way. And I started to embody that, to say, you know, even though I'm not out here walking on water and healing the sick and, you know, healing the blind and, you know, raising people from the dead, I can still be an example, a physical example of what it's like to be a Christian. So when I kind of took myself out of the equation and said, you know what, it's about God, I'm going to go through adversity. Why am I surprised when it happens? So like Pastor said, at one point in his life, if that card had, you know, swiped him or whatever, he would have kind of gone berserk, lost his mind. But he got to a point where it says, what good is going to come out of it? All I'm going to do is upset myself more, stress myself out, look, make a not-so-pleasant situation much worse. And that's what I started to embody as well, that it was through trial and error. It was through, okay, I notice when I react negatively, I get a negative outcome. So maybe if I look at the silver lining or react positive, not only will I see, you know, a silver lining to it, I may end up having a favorable outcome. And always remember, too, things aren't always as they appear. So you may appear to be in a negative situation, but guess what? Something good can come out of it. So I kind of changed my perspective on how I viewed situations, i.e. dealing with coworkers, family members, you know, just internal struggles. If you're, you know, not where you want to be financially or in your marriage or, you know, in your career, things that you deal with and wrestle with internally, I realized that, you know, those are unnecessary stressors and they're not that bad. So the last thing that I need to do is making an emotional decision, be angry and make a decision or do something, I could find myself in a much more different place. But it took me to have to go through those things to realize that, you know what, if I'm going to expect a different result, then I got to change what I'm doing because there's no way that you can continue the same behavior pattern but then expect a different result. So I said, well, I got to change my behavior in order for me to get a different outcome, or in this case, a desirable outcome. And then that's when I realized, like, you know what, adversity comes, but when I look at it differently and handle it differently, then guess what? I get a different outcome, and then that's the positive reinforcement that I needed specifically for myself to say, you know what? There truly is a God. He is watching over me. You know, what's in the Word is true, because you guys have kind of touched on it before. You know, you don't know them unless you try them for yourself, and I could have quoted all of that years and years ago, but I didn't know how to apply it to action. I just could quote it. I know what that means, but I wasn't living it. I wasn't out here doing it. And then when I kept banging my head against the wall, I said, all right, you know what? you know, these quotes that mom used to tell me and drill us when we go to sleep and saying our prayer, all this stuff. I said, let me just try this real quick and just kind of see how it goes. And then you realize that, you know, it's not so bad. And then you realize that positive things do happen. But in order for us to get to that maturity level, everybody has to take their own path. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you do it the way that Brandon did it or do it the way that Pastor did it. But at the end of the day, you have to try it and you have to live it. However you have to incorporate that in your lifestyle, that's up to the individual. But I'm telling you that it works, because I know there was a time when I didn't have the best temper, or I was, you know, out here struggling and making things about myself. But once, as I stated, I took myself out the equation and basically said, let it be about God. As a Christian, we know adversity is going to come. So let me make it about God and say, what would Jesus, like those old braces you'd have, what would Jesus do? You know, God would act like this. Yep. He wouldn't, you know, do things like this. Jesus wouldn't do things like this. So let me try to be a little better. Now, you're not going to always be perfect, but let me just try to get better each day to try to make sure that as I'm consistently doing the right things, I will consistently, therefore, have a better outcome. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm much better than what I used to be, thank God, and getting a little bit better through prayer and just asking the Lord to let me slow down and just, you know, don't speak before I think about the situation or pray over the situation. The other thing is going through experiences and maturity, asking the Lord to let the word come alive in me, live in me when I'm faced with adversity and difficult situations, when I have to make decisions, you know. So when I put God first and just ask him to slow me down and help me to listen, and if I don't know what to do, then just close my mouth and let me be quiet.
Amen.
And, you know, it's a growth thing. We go through it. Some days we get it right, and some days we don't get it right.
Yep.
And the days that we don't get it right, you know, pray over it and ask the Lord to help you learn from your past mistakes so that you can. You won't keep hitting your head up against the wall, you know. You won't have to keep going through these same experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the Lord allows us to go through certain lessons until we learn it and get it right, you know. So, like I said before, I'm slowly getting there, you know, with the help of the Lord. There are some good days and there are some bad days. And one thing that I'm grateful for, when the Lord showed me what is wrong.
Yeah.
And I ask him what is wrong, and I listen to him. He can help me, and that's the thing. You have to want to make your life better. And you have to ask God to be the center, to always be the center and control. Even when the flesh rises sometimes, even when you say things that you shouldn't say sometimes, you still have to ask God, help me to be the person that you want me to be.
Amen.
And help me to apply that word to my life, because we can't do it in our own power, in our own strength. We have to have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To give us that strength and give us that power to do the things that is right in this life. Because we live in fleshly bodies. And,
all right, now.
We know right from wrong,
but
sometimes, truth be told, you know,
truth be told,
we have to be real. We have to be real. Sometimes we do things that are wrong, but when we do, if we go to the Lord and we are sincere and tell him, I'm sorry, I want to get it better, and sometimes you got to go to other people and apologize too. So, you know, as long as we can keep that fellowship and that relationship open with him, where we can communicate, we can grow spiritually, and we, when we fall down, we can get up. We don't
Amen.
Have to stay down there and wallow
Amen.
In the mud. We can get up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. 8272, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. This was a very good Bible study lesson tonight because I experienced something very, like, heartbreaking to me over the weekend. And when the Bible talk about the different types of woes and, you know, revealing people of who they are, I truly experienced that in my life, dealing with family members. Like, as we say, it's not just like our leaders, like, you know, the clown that they have in office. You know, it could be right, you know, somebody close to us, like in our families. And this, you know, being a hypocrite is like, it's the worst thing ever. Like, it's just like being fake for real. Like, and I'm not brought up like that. Like, I have to be real with myself, whether I have flaws at all. And I know that I'm a work in progress. And I know that I need to really, like, deeply get back in the Word of God, because that is the only way that I'm going to keep my sanity. But I can say, dealing with the situation I dealt with, I really think I handled it so good, because if it was not for me, you know, going to church and getting on the prayer line when I do, and, you know, studying the Word and stuff and having God back in my life, I probably would have kirked off. I'm not going to lie. I would have just went ballistic. But I was just so calm about the situation. And, you know, I had a talk with God, and he just, like, really just opened my eyes to a lot of things. You know, he said, it might hurt me, but I will be okay. You know, he gave his toughest battles to the strong, you know, the strongest people or whatever. So I just thank God for this lesson tonight, because this was so on point. And like you said, like, the woes, the Word of God will open your eyes. It would, like, talk, come at you. And it will even convict you with certain things you might be dealing with in your life, in your day-to-day living. You know, I try to just, like, be kind to people. I treat people how I want to be treated. But sometimes you people not going to do the same to you, and it's okay. You just pray for them and keep it moving, and, you know, have mercy on their soul or something, because, you know, it's the wickedness, that enemy, he is real. Like, he just comes at you like crazy.
That's right.
And it's just crazy, because, like, it just seemed like all this, since the weekend, everybody I talked to just had some type of mishap going on. Like, I was sad to hear about the pastor's car happening. Then, you know, people at work with, I think, Brandon. It's just like, what is going on? But, you know, because we getting closer to our God and getting a closer relationship with him, the enemy attacks us even more, you know. When I bless, he know that God is about to bless us with something. It don't even have to be materialistic or anything. He could just bless us with, you know, being kind to somebody or being a blessing to others. But I just want to thank y'all for this lesson tonight. Like, I really, really enjoyed it, and it really opened my eyes, and I learned so much within this hour. And I know now that I really have to start getting back into this Word and doing Bible study every week, because this is a big help. Like, this is no joke. This is a big help. And without God, I know that I'm not going to be able to deal with the things I have to deal with.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, we covered a lot of ground tonight. And we thank God for his word and how he has continued to shine light into all of our lives, that we can see the truth of God and try to humble ourselves to let him lead us to a place where we can be more like him.
Amen.
Any last words, Dr. G, you close us up?
Well, yeah, you know, I think for me, Brandon hit on something that we have to take heed of now. If Jesus had to be aware of how he conducted himself, because he knew that people were watching him, he knew that there were going to be traps, he knew that folk, the religious leaders were going to try to trip him up, but yet he continued to be led by the Spirit. Now, and what I love about him is when the Lord told him, okay, now you hit him with the word, he hit him with the word. And
oh,
it wasn't,
my goodness.
You know, just icing on the cake, you know, or he called him a hypocrite, you know.
Yeah.
Woe unto you. And that's the way we have to be. You know, we have to be aware of how we conduct ourselves, the way we carry ourselves, what we say, how we say it, to who we say it, the tone of our voices, all of that.
Amen.
Because people are watching. And, you know, years ago, you know, I would have the little kids impersonate me while I was preaching. And, you know, it was funny, but I'd rather have them impersonate me while I'm preaching rather than do some other crazy things other people
That's
are doing
right.
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you know, all of this, you know, what Christ was trying to teach us, the bad part about it is that more people just don't take the time to really get into it and understand that, you know, it is a light for us who are seriously trying to walk in this world of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
But as we can see, there is nothing new under
That's
the sun.
True.
Stuff
That's
that was
true.
Going on back then is still happening today.
Amen.
And with that, we're just going to ask folks to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for another evening, Lord, that we could spend some time with you and your word. Father, we thank you for what you've taught us tonight, Lord, and we thank you that when it comes time that you let that word cut, Lord, it cuts, and it should open our eyes to a point where we understand that we have to be careful of what we do, where we do it, what we say, how we say it. And Father, our minds and our focus has to be on the Spirit. Father, help us now that we continue to grow, that we might continue to be about a good thing for you. And Lord, we know that the enemy is going to come after us. So we have to stay prayed up, and we've got to stay in that word that when he comes, we can say, as Jesus said, it is written. Lord, we pray now that we finish out this week, whatever your will is for the weekend and for Sunday. Pray, O God, that you'll allow us to gather together as our places of worship, that we might lift you up in glory once again. Lord, we thank you and we ask it all right now. In the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Amen.